Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Find the Funny with Lisa Alvarado. Yep, this is part two with Nick Hoff. I'm so excited. We continue our conversation about hating Christians, and we go over some jokes in our notebooks. So it's going to be fun. We don't hate Christians. We really like them. In fact, we are them, but we're just the cool ones.
You don't hate yourself?
I do sometimes. Actually, I do.
Well, this is my mom, Nellie.
Yay, yay.
Say, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to my daughter, what?
Podcast. Podcast. I know, podcast. That's a weird name.
Okay, so let's talk about what's your writing style?
Okay. Writing style has pretty much always stayed the same. I usually carry around some kind of notebook. This is an older one that you asked me to bring.
Yeah.
But like usually back in the day, it was like a tiny one like this. It'd be in my back pocket. And I carried this everywhere I went. Any idea came to me, I'd write it down in this. I wouldn't flesh it out in this, but the idea is here. And I used to carry this around like my wedding pictures. I have this. You can see this in my back pocket.
Oh, wow. In your wedding pictures?
Bugs my wife to no end. She's like, look at that, you jackwad. But it's like, it you never knew when it was going to come up. So I always had this in my back pocket. Little thing comes up. I write it down. And then kind of at some point during the week, I'll sit down and try and like figure out if I can make it funny and make it bigger. If it's, you know, I'm not like a one-liner comedian, so see if there's a bigger story to what the idea was. And I won't even then completely flesh it out. At that point, I will see, okay, can I get like three or four punchlines?
Right.
And then I will do a show with it just to make sure it resonates with other people. Because I don't want to like take a bunch of time on some silly thought that's just my stupid brain.
Yeah.
You know, I want that to be it, but other people to be able to relate. So I'll say it on stage. If it doesn't connect at all, I'll go home and try the first step again and then go try it again. If it doesn't resonate, then usually cast aside because other ideas are coming in. But if I can see people's, you know, face light up, even if it doesn't get a big laugh on that first show, I'll say, oh, there's something here.
Yeah.
And then I'll go home and exploring. I will really try to, you know, spend some time writing it out and figure out everywhere it can go.
So you do chunks of material, right? Kind of like story. And a more of a chunk.
Yes. And they're usually now starting with something that happens in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, I think, you know, we're pulling from everywhere. So I was just writing about topics. I'd be like, well, let's write about sharks and see what I can come up.
Yeah.
But then you'd do that. And then there would be another comedian who's doing a shark bit. Or, you know, there was a lot of overlap there. Even if it's not the joke, the subject matter was overlapped. And I didn't like that.
Right.
You know, I used to have a joke about meth, and it was just about, let's see if I can remember the joke. It was, oh, somebody said Coke Zero, you should drink Coke Zero, it tastes just like regular Coke. And I said, no, it doesn't, because if it tasted the same, they wouldn't have both products.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have meth That's and meth true. Zero. Like, it's like,
and
it was a silly line, but if anybody else on the bill before I went up said the word meth, the power was sucked out of that joke. And I didn't like that, even if the punchline was nowhere near the same, this guy could be doing meth.
Yeah.
But he said meth, and that took the power out of me saying meth, you know, 20 minutes later. So then I started writing about personal things that happen, you find way less overlap.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. The more specific you can make it, when I used to teach that classes, I was like, okay, you know, put all the common jokes out.
Yeah.
And then you avoid each and every one of those pitfalls because I'm guaranteeing you there's another comic that's done it.
Yeah.
Or that will do it. And then you fight over it. And then
you fight over it, or you just like, you don't even realize. I did a joke in Alameda earlier this year, and there was a comedy, like a super fan up there in the Bay Area. And she goes to like three or four shows at like the Punchline, the Alameda Comedy.
Wow.
She goes to all the shows up there. She came to my show after the show. She's like, that was great. I loved it. Blah, blah, blah. She goes, by the way, you did a Gaffigan joke. It was this one. And then she sent me a message later going, it's from this. And it's it's one line. And me, it's like a 2-minute bit that ends in that line. And I was like, oh, thank you for telling me.
Yeah.
And so then the whole thing scrapped because I don't even want any, like, I don't want any overlap at all. And it was literally word for word. Like,
wow. That's so rare, but that does happen.
It was literally, I mean, it's only one line that's word for word, but it is word for word. And she goes, it's from this album on this. And I went and listened to it. I was like, there it is. Wow. And I was like, thank you for telling me, because otherwise I'd have been an idiot. I would have recorded it at the end of this year.
Yeah.
Thinking I had something brand new. And then 6 months later, people would be commenting on my special, like, freaking joke thief.
Exactly. Huh. You know what? When I was a young comic, I opened for Dave Coulier.
Uh-huh.
And
cut it out.
I know. Yeah, cut it out.
Does he do that on stage?
I don't remember. He did a bunch of like little lines that he used to say. I mean, it was packed there for him. And I was, you know, it was like back in the day, he was the shit.
Where
right?
was it? Yeah. I mean, I think
it was
still...
in Illinois.
Okay.
It was at Riddles.
Well, I didn't ever
long
do Riddles.
Long time ago. I mean, at least 20 years ago, maybe 21 years ago when I started. And here's the thing, like I had my 10, 15 minutes of jokes. I was hosting the show, or maybe I was middling, and he stayed in the green room. He did not watch any of the comedians. And as a headliner, I think it's important at least one of the shows,
the first show,
watch the other acts before you, because you don't know if they're touching on marriage or if they're doing a dating joke that's real similar, or if there's 10 drunk people on one side of the show that they've addressed three times.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be aware as the headliner. And there's a lot of headliners that don't. So that's not my style. So I always watch, even from when I started, I watch everybody on the lineup. So now Dave sits in the back. He's drinking. He's having a good time. And I do this joke. It's an old one. It's where I say I let my son pick out the cereal at the grocery store. He loves the movie, The Toy Story.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I couldn't believe it when he was like, I want a Buzz and a Woody, a Buzz and a Woody. And I'm like, that's how we got here in the first place. And, you know, that's when I'm like my staple older jokes having my kid. And then he goes up and he's killing, does the exact same joke.
Really?
And it just fell completely. It was the exact same joke.
Yeah.
And I know he didn't watch the set, and I watched his face, and in the back of the room, like, you know, like, I'm like, because I felt like it was disrespectful that he never once even saw 2 minutes of my show. So I saw his face like, that's weird. And then he just moved on to the next subject.
Yeah.
So after the show, I go up to Dave Coulier. I'm a nobody. I go up to Dave and I'm like, you know, that one, joke didn't work about the, you know, the Buzz and the Wood. I did that. That's my joke. Who am I?
You know, and David.
Like, and I'm like, And I go, and then I had the balls to say this. And I go, you can have that.
You know what? I bequeath it to you. I'll allow it.
I was such an ass.
Yeah.
But I just was like offended. I'm like, give all the comedians the same respect. I know you're famous.
Right.
But you're doing this because you love stand-up, I hope.
If we're all in the same building, we're all on the same bill.
Yeah.
I think it really can benefit. First of all, if you watch the show, then you know to avoid those pitfalls. Mm-hmm. Or like, I think it's as simple as like the host might talk to the couple right up front and know that they're already married or this is their first date or whatever. If I ask that same question, then it's going to seem weird.
Yeah.
That I wasn't aware of what's going on. So I always want to watch it from there. But even if I can't watch an entire thing, I still want to catch a couple minutes so I have something to say to, because typically it's a younger comedian who's like, you know, they can cling to these little things that, like, had Dave said, hey, great job. I love that joke. You know, I have something similar or whatever.
Yeah.
It'd put a little feather in your cap where you're like, hey, I got a kudos from Dave Coulier.
Yeah.
So like, I remember comics coming up to me after a set and they said little nice things to me and that kept me going. Like I kept that little ember inside of my little train.
Yeah.
That just keep going when something stunk.
Yeah. I'm sure he remembers that to this day. I'm sure he's still doing the joke.
Dave, call in. You owe Lisa an apology.
I know.
And start watching.
I forgive you. I am Christian sometimes.
Just because you brought up Dave Coulier, did you watch the Bob Saget tribute that they put on Netflix or whatever? Did you see the Michael Keaton part? It was so funny. So Michael Keaton wasn't at the tribute. They recorded it. It's on Netflix or something or on HBO. Bob Saget. But they go to him and it's like his friend recording him. He's like sitting on his porch or whatever. He's like,
oh, hey, Bob, hey, man, happy birthday. Like, yeah, another spin around.
Yes.
And then somebody interrupts and they're like, no, it's not. He's dead. And he goes, really? He's dead. Oh, well, give me a second. Sits there for six seconds. Yeah. He goes, ah, trying to work up some fake tears or something. Nope, nothing.
Oh, great.
We try to work up some fake tears. Nope. Okay.
See, I would love to see him doing stand-up now.
People don't realize he started in stand-up.
Yes, he's brilliant.
He is very funny.
He's brilliant. As a comedic actor,
yeah.
He is just some of my favorite movies. Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
Gung Ho. Isn't that one of
Gung
the...
Gung Ho. Night Shift. I haven't seen either of those. But
what?
Yeah, Michael Keaton's great. People don't realize he was a stand-up. He must not have loved it. Because I don't think he's ever gone back and done it again. I think if you love it, you'd have gone back, especially after being able to sell tickets then.
I think it's so hard to go back. Like, look at Eddie Murphy.
He's afraid to go back.
Oh, you can't.
Oh, yeah.
How could he top what he did?
He can't top it, right. But you can go back and, you know, hit some doubles.
I think he would be amazing. I think he's still hilarious. But that era,
yeah,
he was unbelievable. So... I don't know if I would do it either.
Right. Yeah. He was like
you,
23.
You want to end on that. The memory of those specials and what he did for comedy. You kind of like, I don't know. That would be like Cosby now trying to get back on the horse.
I think he's going on tour.
Cosby?
I think Cosby's going on tour.
Yeah. I think he's trying.
I think he's taking that Milky Eye on tour.
Yeah. I can't wait to open for him. The Milky Eye.
Tom Brady thing, like, you know what I mean, just retire.
Yeah,
you were good, like,
yeah,
stay good.
I wonder how much of that is he thinks if he retires he looks guilty, but if he comes back out, do people say, well, he really believes that he doesn't deserve what he got?
Yeah. I can't believe, one, he's out of prison.
It's wild. On like a technicality,
me,
right?
I think so. That is actually, in a crazy way, that is one of the reasons why I am edgier on stage, is because I don't like putting on a facade that I have my shit all together.
Yeah.
And I really do think about all these messed up things. I think if comedians like him, or even just priests, people that do screwed up things, would just go, yeah, I have a problem in this area, it takes the power away of that thing that you're struggling with.
Right.
So when I talk about all these horrible things on stage, like, I call my own son an asshole.
Yeah.
Because he's acting like one.
Sure.
Like, I love him to death, but like, I have no problem saying that because that is my true feeling. And every human has these emotions. Doesn't mean we act upon them in a horrible way or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, let's just all talk about the truth.
How old's your son now?
He's, 31.
31. Have you had to talk with him? Probably before now, but you've had a talk with him. Hey, I say things on stage.
Oh, he will not come see me.
Yeah. Doesn't
want to
hear
Mom. No. And when he was littler, and you might have this with your kids soon, especially when they get into their teenage years, is like, don't say that.
Oh, really?
Don't talk about that on stage. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what happened at school. That doesn't go on stage.
You're sitting there with your notebook.
Yeah.
Or what else
you
got?
Do you want braces? Okay. This goes in the... Yeah. This is how mommy makes money.
Yeah,
okay?
yeah.
Like, do you want...
Be a team player. Come on.
Do you want to go to Vegas?
Poop your pants right here. Mommy needs...
Exactly.
Mommy needs another 5 minutes.
He went to therapy about me. Like, he...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
he told me about... That's what I... That's why I was like, are you serious? And he goes, but the therapists now, they're totally different.
Okay.
Than, because I had therapy as a teenager.
Okay.
And it's now I kind of feel like they cushion them and they go, oh, you're allowed. Does that trigger you?
Yeah,
where when I was in therapy, they're like, well, yeah, your parents are going to drink. They're immigrants.
Sure.
You know, like, it's more like, yeah, I've heard of that. Or, oh, you got smacked around. But now it's like, oh, did they give you a dirty look? Ooh, that's controlling.
Well, the difference
is, they have labels now.
The difference is, when you were going, your parents were footing the bill. The therapist is on the side of whoever's paying the session.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right?
That's true. I'm going to find that lady. And here's the thing. I love therapy. I went to therapy when my son started just, he's just going through a phase of pushing away and detaching, which is normal and healthy. But he went to an extreme, like where he's just like, well, I got a wife now. I don't really need my mom.
And yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, that sort of like coldness where it was like, no, have your time, but don't be a dick.
Right.
You know? So I went to therapy during the pandemic because I was like, I've never been this distant from him in my whole life. I don't understand what's going on. And she was like, yeah, you're a single mom. You're the closest person to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't speak much to his dad. So anything he's going on in his heart and his life and painful, it's going to be you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to fight with his wife.
Yeah.
So you're the jerk for maybe, you know, 5 years. Look at that. Sweet. Did we get that on camera?
Yeah. Why?
Satan. So I don't know how many. I think we've had 15 technical difficulties on this. It's never happened before. But obviously, Nick is bad luck. So
just the podcast killer.
Yeah. The curtain just fell, but I really don't give a shit anymore. And the light went off on this side. And see, if we had more subscribers, this is really your fault. If you would subscribe right now and I could monetize the podcast, then we could pay for a real set. So this is basically on you. Okay, so we are going to go on to, I mean, obviously the show is called Find the Funny. Do you have any stories in your life that can be relatable to the audience that help them kind of find the funny in some traumatic, painful situation?
Yeah. So I had this joke that came about from a painful subject, which I didn't realize in the moment how universal it was. But like before we had kids, when we first started trying, we had a miscarriage early on. And I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fine. But in the moment, it was very, very sad.
Oh, yeah.
And especially for my wife. I think she took it harder than I did. And the joke that came out of it, because that's what we do. We just like that's our self-defense is I had a joke about it that, I was still pretty young at that time. And I was excited to have a kid. But at the same time, am I going to be a good dad? What's going to happen? And so there was a part of me that felt like my kid was looking at me from inside the womb. And he saw what I was like. And he's like, you know what? Not yet. I just kind of flush, just pull the ripcord.
Flush themselves.
Oh, real dad's playing PlayStation. Shouldn't he be working on something? Like I don't think
he tells jokes. Oh man, I'm not going to college.
So that right? Exactly. I felt like that. There was a moment where he looked at me and he decided to kick at himself, and so that made me laugh. The idea of that made me laugh, and so I told that on stage, and I didn't tell that joke very long because I didn't feel it that long.
Right.
That helped me to recover, but I had so many people in the few times I told it come up to me saying, we had one too. And you find out like 90% of women have had a miscarriage, whether they know it or not.
Right.
And you're like, well, nobody's talking about it. Because I remember Sarah saying, oh, is something wrong with me? Like, who knows? Maybe I can't. And then had we known that it was like almost universal, so common, that would have helped us. So, there was that helped me to get over that hump. I'm not sure if Sarah found it as funny as I did.
Right. Is there a line that she won't let you cross with material?
Yes.
Oh, there is.
Yep.
What is it?
There's a definite line.
Uh-oh. You can't say it?
It's when it's disparaging on her and it doesn't kill. If it kills, she's cool with it. Almost
really?
No matter what. Almost no matter what.
Oh, my gosh.
But there have been some times where she's sat in the bag and go, hey, that thing where you talk about how I do this or something. She's like, wasn't that funny? And I think you need to stop saying it. And I go, okay. And that's not worth the fight.
It's not.
And also because she's also right. It wasn't as funny as it could have been. So it's like if I ever said something that killed and she's like, you can't say that. I'd been like, well, guess what? It's divorce time. Because
divorce time. I will take
nothing
the
is
joke.
More important than the material.
Yeah, exactly. That'll get it. And then I'll have so much more material from the divorce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I need that fourth hour, it's go time.
Yeah. I don't have anybody I have to run that stuff by.
Mom never gets upset.
You know what? She saw my HBO special and she was like, that wasn't dirty enough. That wasn't
really.
My mom said that to me. She literally.
Step it up, Lise.
Isn't that crazy? And it's because we were told on there to keep it more PG to PG-13, which it's HBO.
You're HBO.
Are you, why? I think the producer was just really controlling.
Okay.
But so, and then I saw another comic be edgier and I was like, well, what the hell? Yeah. Like, it's just weird who they picked. It. And a lot of times they'll say that to women because sometimes audiences don't receive it the same.
Exactly.
When you do a rated R joke, the guy could say the same joke. A woman does it and they're like, she's so dirty. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? It's the same fucking joke.
There is a definite double standard.
Yep.
For women, and it's like you see it universally almost with women and what they can say. It like you either have to go so far that you are above it, like you almost have to go like the South Park route where you're like, I don't care, and this is it.
Yep.
Or people are going to pigeonhole you into that. Well, that's not very ladylike,
right?
To say that, and it's unfair, but it happens a lot. Like there are ways that I can't dress on stage because the perception, and I noticed this very early on. The first time I got paid to do comedy was at the Ice House, and I got paid to open for the weekend. And I was like, well, I'm going to wear a suit.
Oh.
I've made it to the big time. I'm making $25 a set. I'm wearing a suit and tie. And I bombed out of control because people were looking at me as a 23-year-old in a suit, and they didn't like it.
Yeah.
They didn't like it. And I realized I got to dress down. I'm the everyman on stage. So I got to dress like it.
Right.
Because if I ever get like a hip sweater or something for Christmas, I don't know if they're hip sweaters, if that exists, but like if I get some kind of new clothing that I, perceive as cool, I cannot wear it on stage.
Yeah. No, the baseball cap, this.
I just have to be understated. Like I just have to go through this whole. And so that's a very small example of what I have to deal with. But women universally have to go with this. There are all these things that like it's really more difficult for you guys to talk about.
Yeah. And the dressing thing, that's really interesting that you brought that up, because for women, we have to be careful with it even more.
Yeah.
I'm sure. There's some women that will wear a dress on stage. It's not uncommon anymore. Where to me, the last thing I want is someone looking at my legs while I'm doing stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. Like Nikki Glaser wore that freaking hot yellow dress in her last special. I think it was a Netflix special.
Yeah.
She looks amazing, like smoking. And I'm like, what are you saying? And I'm a woman. And I'm like, what? Look at those legs. Does she do squats? Like the whole time.
It's a distraction.
I'm looking at her like she's freaking hot and she's funny, but like I kind of was like, I want that dress, I want to wear that to a New Year's Eve party. Like that's what I kept thinking. And so for me, when I'm up on stage, I almost always wear layers and jeans. And I've transitioned. I used to wear high heels because I was younger. I could handle it. Can't but a couple wearing times I wore stilettos and I almost tripped over the cord.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's never, I'm never doing that again.
I can't imagine wearing something where you're like, just like a little fawn on stage. I can't.
Oh, it was so hard. I'm like, why did I ever do that? Like, it's, why am I trying to look sexy on stage? But I'm Latina. That's just how that's what we wear. And that's the truth. My mom, until she was about 70, wore high heels. She just, and I learned from that. So I just always did it. One time I remember I got my first gig at Zany's and I'm like, I'm going to be like Eddie Murphy. So I put on leather pants.
Right.
25 minutes. I was dripping. The inside of my leather pants were like soiled. It was like I peed. There was so much sweat.
And my leather legs starts were to sweat. Squeak. Somewhere there's an...
I'm like, why am I doing this? Because Eddie Murphy made it look cool. Well, yeah, he was in front of like millions of people. He is cool. So I'm like, I can't do that. I can't wear heels. So I had to find my own way to dress. And I've noticed also for women, a lot of them wear their hair up in a ponytail.
Okay.
And like Whitney Cummings, Taylor Tomlinson, especially during their specials. And I was like, I can do that to be more tomboyish, to be more approachable, more likable.
Right.
But I'm like, fuck that.
I don't want to be
likable. That was the one. Like, who wants to be likable?
Who wants to be approached? All these weird, sweaty fans approaching.
I was like, no, I am unattainable. Okay.
There you go.
No, I felt like I didn't want to be so far, not myself.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not a ponytail girl.
You're already out of the heels.
Unless Let's I'm in the gym. The I still want to look feminine. I still want to look like a girl.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of women try to hide that or go super dirty to be more like a man.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be more. I think you're right that you have to pick one extreme. As a woman, you got to, if you're going to talk dirty, you got to really. I'm trying to be a little more in the middle where I'm not so extremely dirty and there is the smart jokes, but it's tough.
It's a harder place to be.
It is. It's really harder.
People can't really pin you down there.
Right. Exactly. Because I can do clean shows, but I prefer just whatever.
Yeah.
Where I can be clean if I want or I can be dirty. I like going in and out of it.
Comedians just in general don't like being told what to do.
Yes.
We're, you know, we're antagonists. We're what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? Where you question authority. What do you anti-establishment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we are by nature.
Yeah.
And so be told, oh, you got to be clean or you got even when you're told you got to be dirty. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
What I do what I want to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Oh, I can't do I can't talk to the audience. I'm opening with it.
Guess what?
You know, yeah. It's like that's you're exactly right. It's the more you try to control us, the worse it is.
Yeah.
We're like teenagers. Maybe I know why my kid doesn't like me. If I listened. Okay. So what we're gonna do, this is how we're gonna close the show. As one of my favorite things to do with comedians is we're going to go into our journals, stuff we wrote 10 years ago, 15 years ago that we either did or didn't do, but they're actually pretty painful to look at.
I like how you call it a journal.
That's like a little, that's almost like you put the hot girl's phone number in that book.
Oh, a little black book.
Nope, it's
just got my phone number in it.
That's it. Really?
Yes, because if I lost it, yes, return it, please. You can happily have my phone number if I get my notebook.
Oh my gosh, these are old. You don't bring up set lists, do you?
Yes, I do.
I bring up set lists on every show because I cannot remember anything.
I at the very least always have it in my pocket.
But I always color code them. If you're watching on YouTube, this is because I guess I'm dyslexic and I can't see well, so. Instead of being, I'm vain, so I don't want to wear glasses.
What are the things to know? Like, what is some of it's highlighted, some of it's circled?
Yeah, so the highlighted ones, make sure you do that.
Okay.
Is what it says to me. So I'll put red and a highlight. But if I were to just write words and not highlight things, all I see is letters.
Yeah, this is the mind of a madman.
Yes.
I'm looking at right now.
This is, yep.
Will eventually be up in a crime lab somewhere, like, on what she wrote down.
And no one knows. It'll just say Mary with a circle around
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Like, what? Is this where she murdered that person?
The answer is always yes.
Exactly. Okay, these are, oh my gosh. Okay.
I should have earmarked a few of these.
I know. I'm trying to
Some of them are too embarrassing to say out loud,
I know,
even though
right?
they're meant to be bad.
And some of them are just, like ideas. I know there's a bunch of jokes in here that I've never even done.
It's just words
topics?
And it's just a topic with usually one or two lines. So this one like says the topic is bars. It says they're the only place that throw out their best customers. You never see McDonald's kicking out the fat people.
You've never done that one on
I don't think I've ever told that
yeah,
on stage.
Yeah, see, the fat people is going to be a hard Yeah.
The you don't want to say fat people. The tagline is this is why everyone wants to own a bar at one point in their life.
Do you ever go back to notebooks?
I haven't in a long time. But when I record, then I go back to like just check to see if there's anything that I have that maybe could fit.
Yeah.
Cuz so many times you have like a joke about growing up or whatever, you're like, man, that would fit perfectly right here. That's a tag. I just wrote a tag down, but it didn't have a joke to go with it, but it fits perfectly with this other thing. So every once in a blue moon, I'll go back and look. But I haven't looked at this notebook in a long time.
Here's one that I never did, but I like the concept. And it's funny because this is at least 10 years old, this notebook.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I ever tried it, but I wrote it all out. Of like the ideas and where I could go. And I was flipping through notebooks last night and I was like, that's a great bit.
This is gold.
Like, this is, I can do something with this. And maybe, you know, have you written a joke before that you weren't ready for?
Yeah.
Like you didn't know where to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 5 years later, you're like, I know exactly what to do with that now.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and you found one of those gems.
I think that this is it. It's the, and you know how people talk about how when we were kids, this was, so for me, I don't like scary movies. I never have, but I have seen some of them. And the scary back then is not like the scary now. Like it, like Poltergeist, it was a fuzzy TV.
Yeah.
It was like, it was your imagination that was always the scary.
Right, right.
You know, but now, like with special effects and what they can do on the screen, like there was light bulbs. I'm like, furniture moved. Holy shit. That's crazy. What happened? Like Amityville Horror, that was one of these, the original. He got bitten by furniture. Like he bit his ankle, but and there was flies on the window. Then you were like,
not
that
flies.
Means there's a ghost.
Yeah, there was a horror movie about the birds. About
yes,
birds.
Birds. It was the fog. The fog was a thing. That was like, oh my gosh.
What's in that fog?
What can it? Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the Shining, the old lady was like, remember in the back? That was so scary.
I like this premise.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you should be doing this.
I don't know. The Omen, that one cracks me up too, because there's this little spoiled brat that's just riding around on a freaking tricycle. That was the, and he would look at you, and that was it.
That was
and
it?
And like, remember the nanny the committed suicide? But what nanny doesn't want to commit suicide?
this is just the story of every nanny.
Yes, exactly.
This is, speaking of like, do we do jokes about Christianity and stuff? This was one of them. And I don't think I ever did it on stage, but this, so it's just an idea. And the idea came to me maybe at church. I don't know. It said, what if God didn't intend for Jesus to die? Like, what if he, like Jesus got up there after dying and he's like, what was that? Like, what? You had superpowers. What is wrong with you? You're my son. I'm disappointed in my son.
Yeah. Oh like, my gosh. Oh, that's funny.
That's the idea.
Oh my gosh. And if you did that at a church,
right.
That would crush. No, it wouldn't.
I wonder. Some people might be like, you know what? That's not even, don't even joke about that.
Yeah.
But it might also crush. You could be right. I don't know.
I used to have a joke about being Jesus's mom. If, cause he's going to come back, right?
Okay.
He's going to need a mom and Mary's in heaven.
Oh, so you're not Mary. You're
no,
Lisa.
I'm,
but
I'm
just,
Lisa.
Yeah.
And Jesus, like, being his mom now, what would that be like? And interestingly enough, I thought, oh, this is a great church joke. So I did it on Dry Bar, and they're the ones that cut the major punchline.
They're like, no.
Yeah. And I was like, no, wait. This is about the Bible, about Jesus, about the guy we all like, right?
Yeah,
we believe in. It's not, like, it just was so maddening to me because I specifically did it for that show, and they're the ones that judged me about it.
Yep. It's weird. It's weird the things that people get up in arms about.
Yeah. It's crazy. Let's see if I have. I did do a Caitlyn Jenner joke that I only did like three times on stage, I think, because I saw her at a restaurant in Malibu. I went to Nobu.
Okay.
It was like super expensive. Yeah. Like hoity-toity. Only been there once.
Never been.
And they were sitting at a table, like kind of kitty corner. And I think that's when she first started wearing dresses publicly.
Yeah.
With the high heels. And I never knew how tall Bruce Jenner was. Like, I never knew. I knew he was an athlete, but I didn't know he was 6-something.
He's like probably 6'3".
Yes.
Something like
6'3",
that.
6'4".
And now you're in heels.
And then you're in heels.
Yeah.
And then he was sitting like with his legs open like a dude sits. Because I think he was new with the woman stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but I was like, I can see your little,
he's poking out.
Your tuna roll is.
Tuna roll?
Yes. It's sushi. See, that's a callback. And I remember doing on stage that I was mad that I thought it was greedy that he could win the gold and be a Kardashian and be a woman. Didn't he won Woman of the Year?
He won Woman
of the Year. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That made me livid.
That's silly.
Give up the dick. Yeah. Then we'll have a meeting.
And it's gone now, right? It's gone now?
It's gone now, I think.
It's gone now, I
haven't checked lately, but.
Sarah, do you know?
I don't know.
I think it is gone. But
time to Google Bruce Jenner's egg roll, or what did you call it?
Yeah. His little tuna roll.
Tuna roll.
Tuna roll.
This just says Miracle Whip has a Facebook page.
That's a great premise, though. The who follows that, you know? Yeah,
right?
I would.
More people than follow me. Probably. Yeah. This says, I love prison breakout stories. So that's why I like to write letters to life sentence inmates telling them where I've buried large sums of cash. This one says, don't confuse huge balls for lack of brains. I wrote it down.
Wait,
I had that thought.
I have that in my notebook too.
Is that right?
We're overlapping. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Nick Hoff, my buddy. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yes. I'm on tour right now. Well,
yes.
Yeah. And the All-American Comedy Tour, all 50 states, nickhoff.com.
Yes.
For all those things. And you can watch my YouTube special. It's going strong. Nick Hoff, front to back. Free to watch. So
front to back.
Front to back.
I didn't know that was the name.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's a there's a joke in there.
It's a tutorial.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm going to watch that now. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, we're going to put all those links in the show notes. So go check out Nick Hoff, and thanks for joining us. Oh, and subscribe, guys, because obviously this is put together with duct tape and we need help.
Here.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
I hope everybody listen to my daughter and see it and laughing with her because she is very funny.